Recorded Books Romance presents an unabridged recording of On the Way to the Wedding by Julia Quinn, narrated by Simon Preble. This book is copyrighted 2006 by Julie Kotler Pottinger. This recording is copyrighted 2007 by Recorded Books, producer and publisher of Romantic Sounds, an imprint that features dramatic tales that will carry you away to exotic locales and sweep you off your feet. Unlike most men of his acquaintances, Gregory Bridgerton believes in true love, and he's convinced that when he finds the woman of his dreams, he'll know in an instant that she is the one. Oh, Mr. Bridgerton, if only things were that simple. And now, On the Way to the Wedding.
Prologue. London, not far from St. George's, Hanover Square, summer 1827. His lungs were on fire. Gregory Bridgerton was running. Through the streets of London, oblivious to the curious stares of onlookers, he was running. There was a strange, powerful rhythm to his movements. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that pushed him along, propelling him forward even as his mind remained focused on one thing and one thing only. The church. He had to get to the church. He had to stop the wedding. How long had he been running? 1 minute? 5? He couldn't know, couldn't concentrate on anything but his destination. The church. He had to get to the church. It had started at 11. This thing, this ceremony, this thing that should never have happened. But she'd done it anyway, and he had to stop it. He had to stop her. He didn't know how, and he certainly didn't know why, but she was doing it, and it was wrong. She had to know that it was wrong. She was his. They belonged together. She knew that. God damn it all, she knew that. How long did a wedding ceremony take? 5 minutes? 10? 20? He'd never paid attention before, certainly never thought to check his watch at the beginning and end. Never thought he needed the information. Never thought it would matter this much. How long had he been running? 2 minutes? 10? He skidded around a corner and onto Regent Street, grunting something that was meant to take the place of excuse me, as he bumped into a respectably dressed gentleman, knocking his case to the ground. Normally Gregory would have stopped to aid the gentleman, bent to retrieve the case. But not today. Not this morning. Not now. The church. He had to get to the church. He could not think of anything else. He must not. He must... Damn! He skidded to a halt as a carriage cut in front of him, resting his hands on his thighs, not because he wanted to, but rather because his desperate body demanded it. He sucked in huge gulps of air, trying to relieve the screaming pressure in his chest, that horrible, burning, tearing feeling as... The carriage moved past and he was off again. He was close now. He could do it. It couldn't have been more than 5 minutes since he'd left the house. Maybe 6. It felt like 30, but it couldn't have been more than 7. He had to stop this. It was wrong. He had to stop it. He would stop it. He could see the church. Off in the distance, its grey steeple rising into the bright blue sky. Someone had hung flowers from the lanterns. He couldn't tell what kind they were. Yellow and white. Yellow, mostly. They spilled forth with reckless abandon, bursting from the baskets. They looked celebratory, cheerful even, and it was all so wrong. This was not a cheerful day. It was not an event to be celebrated. And he would stop it. He slowed down, just enough so that he could run up the steps without falling on his face. And then he wrenched the door open, wide, wider, barely hearing the slam as it crashed into the outer wall. Maybe he should have paused for breath. Maybe he should have entered quietly, giving himself a moment to assess the situation, to gauge how far along they were. The church went silent. The priest stopped his drone, and every spine in every pew twisted until every face was turned to the back. To him. "Don't!" Gregory gasped, but he was so short of breath he could barely hear the word. "Don't!" he said louder this time, clutching the edge of the pews as he staggered forward. "Don't do it!" She said nothing. But he saw her. He saw her, her mouth open with shock. He saw her bouquet slip from her hands, and he knew, by God he knew, that she'd stopped.